And so last week, in our studies in the book of Romans, we left off with Paul explaining that Jesus loves us so much, so much. He took our punishment and he bled and died for our sins 2,000 years ago. And you wonder, how does that apply to us? You know, something that happened 2,000 years ago. But in verse 11 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans, Paul says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Okay, so we talked about this last week. You know, because of what Jesus did for us and because of our faith, he says we have now received reconciliation. You can know if you're going to heaven. You can know today. Even though you may know that you absolutely do not deserve it. Okay? Right? And so, again, Paul is saying that even though Jesus, because when Paul wrote this, it was many years after Jesus' resurrection. Many years. But so Paul, he's actually writing to the Christian church in Rome. He's also writing to us. That's how God, you know, put this together. So we're reading, really, Paul's letters to other Christians, you know, almost 2,000 years ago. But, you know, it's applicable to us because we can have our sins forgiven today. And so Paul says, you know, how this is possible. And he says, therefore, in verse 12, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay? And so we see because of Adam's disobedience, Adam and Eve's disobedience to God, sin entered the world, right? God didn't create it like that. But he gave Adam and Eve a choice to obey what he said or not. God didn't have to, but he did. Right? And because of that sin, death came to him, Adam and Eve. Not only physically, but also spiritually. You know, Adam and Eve are not supposed to have died, but because of their sin and disobedience, death came to them. And so just as Adam became a sinful man, spiritually and physically, you know, spiritually dead and separated from God, so did his children as he passed down his sinful nature to them, to his children. And in turn, his children passed down Adam's sinful nature, or the sinful nature that they had, passed it down to their descendants, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. So, and it came to us, the sinful nature, through our parents, right? So we're all descendants of sinful Adam. And that becomes very evident in our early years in life, our sinful nature, right? Think of, everybody here knows what the terrible twos are. If you've had kids, you know what the terrible twos are, right? But it does not just twos. It could be threes, fours, 10, 13 years old, 15, 19, 20, 25, 30, right? You know, and don't forget, listen, I'm not saying it's everybody else. I was terrible too at one time also. No, I don't think so. But, you know, nobody thinks that. But sure, where does that come from? Where does that disobedience and, you know, and, you know, when how many times you say to a young child, maybe even two, I don't know, you know, they did something, you say, did you do that? No. Parents teach their children to lie? You ever teach your kids to lie? No. Where does that come from? It comes from sinful nature that we've inherited. Right? So Paul confirms this sinful nature in verse 13. He says, for until the law, now when Paul speaks of the law, he's speaking of the commandments, okay? For until the law or the commandments, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So, what's he talking about here? Well, Paul is pointing out that, remember, Adam sinned and his descendants, right? And then Moses, when Moses came, God gave the commandments. So, what did the commandments do? The commandments show us what sin is, right? They're God's moral standards. So what happened, what Paul is saying is those from Adam all the way up until Moses, they didn't have commandments. They didn't have God's rules and laws to go by. But yet there was still sin because of their sinful nature. Okay, so that's what he's saying here. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law, right? We have speed limit right here in Bayonne. Speed limit, 40, I think? No, it's 25. Some people think it's 40, but, okay, say there was no speed limit. Could you get pulled over and get a ticket for speeding? No. But yet, those people that lived from Adam up until Moses, even though there was no laws, God could still judge them. How? How could God judge them if there was no law? Well, because everyone, even though they're born with a sinful nature, they're also born with a conscience. We're all born with a conscience, right? Now, what does the word conscience mean? Con means what? Right? Conscience is science. So conscience means with knowledge. So God has given us, even though we have a sinful nature, he's given us a conscience with knowledge. And so God has given us a basic knowledge of right and wrong. Okay? Now, say there was no speed limit. You know, we would hope that we would know that it's not cool or good to drive 60 miles an hour down Broadway. Right? You know, we would know inherently. You know, and people knew inherently, you know, what is good and bad, for the most part, and still today. You know, and a side note, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about later on, you know, about how people's consciences can be seared, like with a hot iron. And he's talking about, because you wonder, don't you wonder sometimes? You watch the news and you hear these evil, wicked things people do. How can they do these things? Because there's no conscience left. That's only the beginning. There's just no conscience left. There's no knowledge of right and wrong. I mean, there's other reasons, but that's a basic reason. They've seared their conscience. There's nothing there that God has given them. Okay? So in verse 14, as Paul says, talks about this sin, he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Okay, so from Adam to Moses, there was no law, but death still reigned. People still died because of that sinful nature and their sins. Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Okay, so maybe the people didn't sin like Adam, but they still sinned. They did things that were not right. Okay, but it says, speaks of Adam in verse 14, who is a type of him, or it was a type of Jesus who was to come. Now, what's he talking about with that? Adam being a type of Jesus. That's two polar opposites, right? Right, Adam was a sinner, but we're going to see. So in verse 15, what Paul says, but the free gift... What's the free gift? Free gift of eternal life. The free gift is not like the offense or the sin. For if by one man's offense or sins many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So Paul's talking about, he's saying, so if one man's sin, Adam, can make us all guilty, you know, through a sinful nature, how much more can the Lord Jesus make us innocent before God? and take that guilt away. Right? Verse 16. And Paul says, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Okay, so this gets a little, but we're going to break it down. And he says in verse 17, for if by one man's offense or sin death reigned through the one, through him, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, speaking of Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So, what Paul is doing here is he's giving between Adam and Jesus. He's showing analogies, right? So he's saying Adam, through his sin, brought what? Death. Death came because of Adam's sin. Jesus' death and resurrection brought what? Life, right? Adam's sin brought God's judgment. Jesus' death brought what? God's gift of eternal life. Right? So let's go to the right out of Romans into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, because of Adam, all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In verse 45, Paul writes, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So this is why Jesus is known as the second Adam. Jesus came to undo what Adam had done through his sin. And that was the only way. Right? That was the only way. And that's why the Bible says, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He was the one who undid Adam's destruction, really. Okay. So back in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, moreover, the law, the commandments, entered that the offense might abound. So what was, excuse me, what was the purpose of the commandments? Well, one of them was, again, just like speed limits, to make God's laws known. Right? Now, again, people had consciences, but God got down to more specifics. You know, you shall not steal, right? This is God's morality, you shall not steal. So one of the purposes of the commandments was to make sin known and obvious to people what was sin against God. And the commandments, they made it clear, and this is really what Paul is saying, when the commandments came, they made it really clear how sinful people really were or are. Because now you have these God's laws and his standards. And you look at them and say, wow, I'm pretty bad. That's what it's for. And so Paul is saying sin abounded because when God said not to do something, the sinful nature in the person made them want to do it. And us also, right? You tell a kid, Don't go in that cookie jar.
Nobody's looking.
Right?
Maybe we've done it.
You know, something simple as that. Right? So what makes us want to do what we are not supposed to do? Our sinful nature. Right? And so that's what Paul is saying here. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So it's not that sin increased. I mean, you know, but the reality of sin increased. Right? The rest of verse 20. And he says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So Paul is saying, I mean, think about how many sins have been committed since Adam. Billions and billions and billions of people's sins. Think about how many sins we've committed in our lifetime. You know, you guys, maybe a lot less, but as you get older, they multiply astronomically, right? But Paul is saying, even though there's been billions and billions of sins committed, God's grace through his son Jesus far, 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 far exceeds those billions and billions and billions of sins. But what is grace? What is God's grace he's talking about? What does grace mean? Undeserved favor. So, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Right? I mean, if somebody commits a crime, do you think about, yeah, you know what? We should give him, you know, $1 million. You know, what are you talking about? He doesn't deserve that. He deserves punishment. Right? And because of our sins, we deserve punishment, but God gave us grace, what we don't deserve. He gave us his son to die for us. And on the other side is God's mercy. What does mercy mean? Not giving what we deserve. So it's twofold, God's grace giving us what we don't deserve and giving us mercy, not giving us what we do deserve. Right? But what did he give us that we don't deserve? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Do we deserve forgiveness? No, we deserve actually hell. Well, you know, we've got to come to that realization again. You know, we've all lied, right? We've all taken things that are not ours. We've all probably used God's name in vain. Many people have lusted. Maybe we've been so mad that we would want to kill somebody. Maybe we wouldn't do it, but it was in our heart, you know. And then we go down the line of the commandments and we see how far we are away from God's perfection or what God wants. And so God's grace giving us what we don't deserve and not giving us what we do deserve. And that's all through the Lord, right? So in end of verse 20, he says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Crazy thing is that there's one sin that God cannot forgive. One. You can think in your mind what you think that might be. There's only one sin that God cannot forgive. That is unbelief. He can't forgive unbelief. unbelief in him. You know, he gives us, he offers us this free gift of eternal life in return for him giving us, giving him our sins. But if we don't do that in unbelief, he cannot forgive us. And we see that when Jesus was dying on the cross and he had one guy next to him, a criminal, and the other next to him. And one guy was asking Jesus, you know, remember me when you come into paradise. And here he is. This guy deserved to be there. He was a bad criminal. And the other guy was like, you know, making insults and stuff like that. But that one man, he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that he deserved. That's what he told the guy. He says, we deserve to be here on these crosses. He doesn't. So he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized what a sinner he was. And he recognized that Jesus could save him. And he did. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. But he didn't say that to the other guy because he didn't believe. But think about God's grace. How many sins? I mean, you could be 80 years old and sinned all your life, and God could forgive them if it's in your heart and you recognize that you've sinned against God. He will forgive you. It's mind-blowing, right? But you know how many guys in prison have become Christians and are going to heaven even though they've sinned mightily? You know, they may pay for their sins here by being in prison for the rest of their life, but, you know, those guys in prison can receive eternal life, but that's hard to wrap our heads around, right? That a criminal could go. But we're criminals. We talked about this in our previous studies where Paul says we were enemies of God. We may have believed in God, but we didn't live like we did. Right? And so, thank God for his grace. Right? But remember that he gives us grace and mercy on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Right? And all we have to do is come to him in repentance. What does repentance mean? Repentance means turning away, change of direction of our sinful life. Asking God for forgiveness. And asking God to be merciful to us, not give us what we deserve. Right? Now let's go to from Romans to the left into Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And it says, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent and therefore be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now let's keep going to the left till we get into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And this is Jesus' words, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What's the gospel mean? Word gospel means good news. What's the good news? That Jesus died for our sins. We don't have to pay for them. We don't have to pay for them. And if you think about it, if you... I've said this many times, but say you got a ticket driving your car, whatever, speeding, whatever, and you didn't pay it. How long does that judgment against you, right? It's a judgment, it's a ticket, right? How long does that stay on you? for the rest of your life till it's paid for, right? A ticket doesn't go away after 5, 10, 15 years. That judgment will be held against you unless it's paid for. And so will our sins. We go through life and we get to the end of our life, God is going to judge us for those sins unless they're paid for. How do we pay for them? We can't. How can we do it on our own? Try to do good things for people? No, that's a good thing to do, but that's not going to cover that. The thing is, Jesus paid for those sins, right? Now, when you pay a ticket, right, parking ticket, whatever it is, it's paid in full, right? Can they come back later on, 5 years later, and say, oh, you didn't pay your ticket? And say, yes, I did. And you show them the receipt, paid in full, right? And so our sins, when Jesus pays for them, how do we know? How do we know they're paid for? Where's our receipt? His word. His word says, he suffered and died and paid for our sins. That's our receipt. And that's our belief in him. Right? Many people have insurance, right? Can you just believe in insurance? All right? Okay, well, I believe in insurance. Is that going to cover you? No. So just believing in God, just believing that he exists is not going to cover you. Insurance, you need to have a policy, right? And you need to pay for the policy, right? Or else you're not covered. What's our insurance cover? What's our insurance policy? This is it. And who was it paid for? Jesus. He paid for it. In his own blood. In his own blood. So, back in Romans, chapter 5, we're going to close in a few minutes. So, it's crazy because Paul is talking about how, you know, when the commandments came, it showed how sinful we were. But then he talks about how deep God's grace is, right, can overcome sin. You know, back in Paul's day, then some people had the crazy notion that the more you sinned, the more it would give God an opportunity to show his grace. Right? So people were like, well, yeah, well, if I sin more, that'll show how much God's grace. You think that's what God wants? Think God wants us to sin more so he can show more of his grace and mercy? No, of course not. But people thought that. So in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So Paul's like, so should we continue in sin after becoming Christians? No way. And he says, how can we die to sin, live in sin, or continue any longer? The thing is, we'll never be dead to sin, right? You know, we're going to talk about this, God willing, you know, next week a little more, but we'll never be dead to sin, meaning we'll never be sinless in this life, in this body. But of course, that's not an excuse, is it? No. What does he mean? We who died to sin. Well, can a dead person sin? No, dead person can't sin. Of course not. But Paul's going to tell us this is how we're supposed to think of ourselves when people become Christians, that we're dead to sin, that old person that we were. Right? That's how we're to think of our old life. And if we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, the result is that we're born again. That's what that means. We're born again. We're not that same person. We're a new person in Christ. As a Christian, we're not that same old person. And now we're a child of God through faith. Now, again, does that mean we're perfect? No. If you think you're perfect, ask one of your relatives, your brother or sister or mother, father, whatever. Ask them if you're perfect. But we don't have to do that, do we? No. No. I don't have to ask you. We know. Whatever you do, don't ask the lady in the back there. We know the answer. But the thing is, we're not perfect. But there's not going to be any sin in heaven. We can't bring our sin into heaven. We can't bring our sinful nature into heaven. Right? Can you imagine getting to heaven and people are robbing you? I mean, we can't bring, that's not going to happen. And that's why we'll be going to be resurrected and all that stuff. But, you know, God doesn't wink at our sin. Even though he's paid for them, he gives us grace and mercy. You know, but later on in the study, he's going to show how we can't do it by trying to follow the commandments. We can't. We fail utterly. We have to depend on his grace and mercy, while at the same time, trying to live a godly life the best that we can. And when we fail, and when we fall, and when we sin, and we do things that we shouldn't, we go to him and ask him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he doesn't leave us alone to fend for ourselves. You know? So, that's the end of our study today, and I pray that you take with you whatever the Lord gave you this morning. Everybody may hear something a little different that touches their hearts and stuff like that, so take his word with you. And let's stand, and we're going to sing one more song.